Welcome to the course on Bible study. I've entitled the manuscript, Oh, That I May Know the Truth. My brother has a proverb. Actually, it's a question. He is constantly asking, how is it really? When he asks the question, he has in mind life in general and people in particular. Recognizing that what appears to be may not be the way it really is, he asks, what is the truth? His question has been the cry of my heart as long as I have known the Lord. How is it really? What is the truth? When praying to God the Father, God the Son said in John 17:17, Jesus. If that is correct, and I believe that it is, all I have to do is figure out what the scripture says, and I will know the truth, right? Well, yes, but there is a problem. The difficulty is that not everyone explains the Bible the same way. When I became a Christian, I quickly learned that for virtually every passage of Scripture, there are two and sometimes more ways of explaining it. I discovered that for every doctrine, there are at least two different opinions. Every time I encountered a so-called problem passage or a debate over doctrine, I simply wanted to know, how is it really? What is the truth? How do I know which interpretation of the Bible is correct? Life is filled with dead ends, decoys, and deceptions. So are the ways of handling the scripture. So what I want to do in this session is talk about a few of the detours that I have personally taken. One of the first approaches to the scripture to which I was introduced was the devotional method. I was urged to read the Bible every day and allow God to speak to me through it. That sounded simple enough. I was to read the Bible and something would pop off the page that applied to me personally. When that happened, I had a verse for the day, a word from God, something I needed to apply to my life. So I began to use that approach. As a college student, I was dating a girl whom I really liked, but I wanted to know if it was God's will for me to continue dating her. One morning, as I was reading the book of Proverbs, I came to the injunction, "Forsake her not." I took that as a word from the Lord for me that I should continue dating her. Later, I was informed that there was a massive problem with the so-called devotional approach to the Bible. Preachers, pastors, and especially professor types insisted that it is possible to use the devotional message and get a word from the Lord that's not His word or will at all. The fatal flaw with the devotional method is that it lends itself to making the words of Scripture mean something God never intended to say at all. For example, when God said, "Forsake her not," He did not have my girlfriend in mind. He was talking about wisdom. When He inspired those words and instructed that they be written down, He did not intend for them to be applied to me dating a girl. He was only telling me to make sure I sought wisdom. My application of those words was not a proper use of them. It was an abuse of them. Those words are true, but I had not applied them properly. I applied them in an erroneous way. So, I discovered the devotional method is one of the detours of studying the Bible. Then, I discovered a second method. Early in my Christian experience, I was taught that God was the author of Scripture, and therefore he was the best interpreter of it. I could allow him to explain his word to me by comparing Scripture with Scripture. This is sometimes referred to as the cross-reference method. Does not the Bible say, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, in 1 Corinthians 2:13? The answer, of course, is yes. But the question is, what does that statement mean? Frankly, the phrase, comparing spiritual thing with spiritual, is difficult to interpret. In the first place, the word compare can either mean compare or interpret. Secondly, in the Greek text, spiritual things can either be masculine or neuter. In other words, it can either refer to spiritual men or spiritual things. Several possible combinations and therefore possible explanations of this statement are possible. The two most likely possible meanings are comparing or interpreting the spiritual message with spiritual words. If that is the correct interpretation, Paul is summing up what he has said thus far in 1 Corinthians 2:6 through 13. A second possible meaning is that it is explaining spiritual truths to spiritually minded men. If that is correct, Paul has come full circle from the thought expressed in 1 Corinthians 2:6 and is introducing what follows. Everything considered, the latter interpretation seems to be the one that best fits all the details of the passage. In short, 1 Corinthians 2:13 is simply saying that the apostles spoke words the Holy Spirit gave them, and they explained these words to spiritually minded men. Paul goes on to explain that the natural man, that is the man that does not know the Lord, does not understand the word of God. That's in the very next verse in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But spiritually minded men, he says in verses 15 and 16, do understand the Scripture. Then he tells the Corinthians that he could not speak to them as spiritually mature because they were still babes in Christ years after they had known the Lord. He says that in chapter 3, verse 1. Thus, 1 Corinthians 3:13 is not teaching that the way to study the Bible is by comparing one scriptural passage with another. It is saying that Paul spoke words given by the Holy Spirit to spiritually minded people. Nevertheless, the method that teaches the way to study the Bible is to compare Scripture with Scripture is not necessarily all wrong. Ultimately, that is exactly what needs to be done. Putting truths together gleaned from several passages is the topical or theological method of studying the Bible. It is imperative, however, that before several passages are put together, the meaning of each passage be determined independent of all the other passages. Then and only then is it legitimate to compare one passage with another. So the danger in this approach is that it is often not used properly. It is abused. The abuse is called using a verse as a proof text. The words of a text are used in a way that the original author did not intend. Consequently, erroneous conclusions are drawn from the text. It's like the fellow who said, "The Lord speak to me," as he opened the Bible at random and put his finger down. The verse said, "Judas went and hanged himself." He did not like that message. He didn't want to hang himself. So he opened the Bible again to another passage and put his finger down on the verse that said, "What you do, do quickly." By taking those two statements from two different parts of the scripture and putting them together, it is conceivable that a person might make the Bible teach quickly commit suicide. And that, of course, is absurd. It is an abusive use of the scripture. Then there's a third way that you can erroneously handle the scripture. There is the doctrinal method of Bible study. There is a right and wrong use of this method. The correct application of this approach is to study every passage on a doctrine and conclude what the Bible says about that doctrine. This method is discussed in more detail later in this course when we talk about topical Bible study. The wrong use of the doctrinal method is to first formulate a doctrine and then force verses or passages to fit it, beginning with a verse that sounds like it's teaching that doctrine. This practice coerces other passages to conform. Sad to say, I once did that concerning the doctrine of elders. I decided that the church should have a pastor and deacons, and that elders in the New Testament were pastors. I forced every passage that mentioned elders to fit my preconceived notion, whether that was the correct meaning or not. This is tortured interpretation. In discussing the forced interpretation of making the seven churches of Revelation the consecutive periods of church history, one commentator likened it to the thing in Greek mythology where the victim was placed on a bed, and if they were too long, their heads were cut off their body, and if they were too short, they were had their bodies pulled at both ends. That's why I said this is the tortured method of interpretation. Well, let me sum up. What I'm saying in this short session is that the wrong approach to the Bible produces the wrong conclusions. The misapplication of the devotional method, the cross-reference method, or even the doctrinal method can lead to a misunderstanding of Scripture. In using each of these methods, I have reached incorrect conclusions about what the Scripture was really teaching and about the will of God for my life. From bitter experience, I have cried, "How is it really? What is the truth?" So, what is the proper approach to studying the Scripture? The answer to that question is what this course is all about. But before that method of accurately studying the Scripture can be described, there are several preliminary questions that must be answered. For example, why did God write the Bible? Who is qualified to understand the Bible? What determines correct interpretation? So, what I'm going to do is cover each of those in their own individual little session. This has been a very short introduction to the course. In the next little session we will have, I will discuss the purpose of the Bible.